A warm welcome, everyone, to a new interview on Small Caps Investment Research. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Ross Orr, the president and CEO of Bektek Environmental Corporation. The company uses its patented bio-leaching technology to process toxic arsenic-laden mine tailings, which often contain valuable metals worth tens of millions of dollars. We've been following Bektek for several years now, and we believe this is an opportune time to introduce the company. Bektek is listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange with ticker symbol BAC. Russ, it's great to have you with us. Welcome.
Thanks.
As this is our initial interview, could you give us an introduction of Bektek Environmental, its history, and its activities?
Sure. The technology actually came out of King's College in London, England, back in the late 80s. You can remember the energy crisis back then. You know, oil prices exploded. People were looking for different ways to create power. And in the UK, of course, they have a lot of high sulfide coal. And they were looking at using the bacteria to break down the sulfide so that they could process it and use it for creating power. A couple of Australians came along and said, forget coal, let's try gold. And off to Australia went the technology, to Perth, Australia, where it probably, I guess, got its legs. It got its first commercial application in 94, another one in 97. It graduated and moved to Canada in 98, went public at that time. I was part of that transition team that brought it up to Canada. And then subsequent to that, in 2010, we split the company in half into a mineral processing side and then into an environmental side. And I was responsible for doing that, and I decided I would go with the environmental side just because it's, quote, easier than say, processing ore from a mine.
And can you explain in layman's terms how your bio-leaching technology works?
Sure. I mean, our tagline for the company is our bugs eat rocks, and that's effectively what they're doing. If you have a sulfide rock that's mixed up with iron and arsenic and gold, effectively, the bacteria are destroying the sulfur that holds everything together and oxidizing the sulfide and releasing the metal for recovery if it's gold or silver, or using it to tie up the arsenic if that's also present as well. Bioleaching, when it breaks down arsenopyrite, you get sulfur, you get iron, you get gold, and you get arsenic. At the end of the bioleaching process, which is a 5 to 6 day process that cascades from a series of tanks, you get to the very end and you do what is called a solid liquid separation, just as it sounds. The solids that are left over contain the gold, silver, etc. It goes off in one direction, and because the pH inside the tanks is very acidic, anything that's soluble in acid does so. Arsenic, copper, nickel, cobalt, etc., etc. At that stage, then, we start to add limestone, which is a basic element, and we start to raise the pH. The first thing that drops out is called ferric arsenate, which is a banding together of arsenic and iron to produce a stable form of arsenic. And that's the priority. That's why we go looking for arsenic issues, because A, nobody else does, and B, we have a solution to processing and getting at the gold, in the meantime, tying up the arsenic into a stable environment.
Okay, that's good to know. And the beauty of it all is that this is not just a theoretical model, as there are already three commercial plants in operation, right?
Correct. The first plant we built was in 94 in the outback in Western Australia. The second plant was in Tasmania. That plant operated for 15 years, and eventually the mine itself ran out of ore. And the third one was in China in 2001, which we doubled in size in 2008. Those are all licensing deals, right? We licensed our technology to others. Along the way, we realized, of course, that we were handing all the value to somebody else by solving their problem with arsenic or with this refractory type of ore. So we decided that we would do it for ourselves. That's what we've done.
Okay, fantastic. And how about competition? Are there many other companies that offer a similar technology?
There's only one other commercial group that has built bioleach plants, and they build a lot. Gold Fields of South Africa, a very large gold mining company, who tends to build them for themselves. I think, have over 20 different installations around the world. The technology, though, was spun out of there and was acquired by, I believe, Outokumpu out of Finland. So, you know, nice to have a well-known competitor in the field, and hopefully not interested in the environmental side where we are, and I don't think they are.
Let's zoom in on your most advanced project, which is the tailings reclamation project Telamayu in Bolivia. Would you give us some color on this opportunity?
Of course. Oddly enough, it's not a bio-leach plant. We decided as a young, you know, company that we needed to generate a cash flow. And the first thing that dropped into our lap was an approach from the Bolivian government to, with 26 projects they offered. We've been toiling away on a project there called the Telamayu tailings, that are the tailings that were generated by an old mill. So it actually processed material from three or four different mines in the area. It's a very, very high grade opportunity, though. Small, 500,000 tons, but in situ is about $200 million plus in metal, of which we would hope to recover up to 50% of that. At the same time, of course, we're going to take the sulfides out of the tailings, and that's what causes the environmental problem. That's, sulfides will oxidize on their own and create sulfuric acid, and that sulfuric acid leaches its way out of the tailings. So we're just going to go back and use conventional off-the-shelf technology, albeit today's technology and not 80 years ago, which is where a lot of these tailings were created. And we're going to try and capture as much of those, or the sulfides we can out of the tailings, at which time we will then break it down and recover copper, silver, and tin for our own account.
Okay, terrific. And in September 2017, an NI 43-101 resource report was published for the Telamayu tailings. Can you provide us some of the highlights of this report?
I'm happy to, because they're very high. The in-situ metal values that we have are better than some mines are on a head grade basis. The copper is 1.7%. The tin is 1.3%. And I don't know if people know or not, but tin trades at about $19,000 a ton compared to, say, $6,000 for copper. And finally, 8.2 ounces of silver per ton. Why so high? Well, because they were mining 300 ounces per ton at the head grade, you know, years ago, and not getting 8 out of 300 was not a big deal to them.
And what are your plans at Telamayu in the next 12 months?
Well, hopefully production. Again, we've got a lot of infrastructure there. You've got a railway, you've got a power substation. Effectively, what we're doing is we're sort of ripping the guts out of the old mill, and we'll replace it probably with Chinese equipment, because it's a five-year project, and I really don't need a Cadillac or a Mercedes to process material for 5 years. But the next stage for us is to do a feasibility study, which we're starting immediately. It'll be done in Bolivia. And then in the meantime, I'll be in the background trying to secure the financing for building the plant, which, by the way, we anticipate to be sort of in the $7 to $8 million US range. It's not a very capital intensive project, yet the payback is probably a year.
A second project that you're investigating is situated in the Ponce Enrique area of southern Ecuador. What exactly are you doing there?
Well, we were introduced to this about a year and a half ago, and I've had two subsequent visits there, and I'm going in on Saturday. That part of southern Ecuador is very well known for arsenopyrite. Pyrite. Arsenopyrite pyrite is a refractory sulfide that has arsenic in it. Very nasty and very, very difficult to process through conventional means like smelting and roasting, because you can't burn arsenic anymore. The World Health Organization, the World Bank, etc., they just won't allow it. So what's been happening over the last probably 100 years there is people have been slowly mining arsenopyrite and selling the material to the Chinese market and getting paid very, very little, 40, 50 cents on the dollar. Yet it's a very, very high grade gold, also high arsenic type of material. There are tailings everywhere. At last count, we saw 94 different tailings. And on this trip, I'm going down to sort of find 10 of them that we could, 10 of the bigger ones that we can do some work on, i.e. sampling, see what the gold grade is, and then go back and look at this project as a bio-leaching candidate.
And how do you see the Ponce Enrique project moving forward?
I think we see it starting off as a tailings reclamation project. All these tailings sit about 1,000 meters above sea level, and they're on the sort of the western side of the Andes Mountains. There's a coastal plain where we could build a nice bioleach plant. All of our trucking would be downhill, which is great when you're full, and back up when you're empty. And what we would do is we would reprocess these tailings using flotation, again, trying to separate the sulfides away from the waste rock, as it were, and then we would bioleach it. And we would then, you know, produce gold for our own account. Inevitably, the guys who are producing this material are going to come to us and say, can you give us a better price than the Chinese are giving us? And the simple answer will be yes. Our margins are very, very high on this sort of thing.
Okay, that's excellent. And, well, these are just two of your projects, but can you give us an idea of the potential for BECTEC? Do you know how many of these potential reclamation projects exist around the world?
Well, that's a good question. We tend to look north-south, only because it's easier. And what we found is that in Canada, outside of the giant mine up in Yellowknife, there really aren't many opportunities because we've done a very good job of scavenging, what was left behind. South America is a different story. You know, I hate to say it, but the mining industry has raped and pillaged down there for 100 years, and there's a lot of mess left behind. There's also a very active artisanal mining or small mining industry down there that, you know, use mercury to try to amalgamate gold and silver from rock. So I think there's enough in South America to keep us busy for quite a while. You know, you still have to develop the projects as you would a mine, except, of course, your product is sitting on surface. So you eliminate a lot of the guesswork. It's very easy to sample them, to get the grades, to do metallurgical test work on it, and it's all there right in front of you. So, but, you know, you've probably got to allocate one per year. And what you'll have is a company that's producing probably about 150,000 ounces of gold, and of course byproducts such as copper and silver as well.
Wow, well that's very good to know. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the other key executives of the company?
Yeah, we've got an interesting group. Our board of directors, especially. The chairman is John Gingrich, who spent many years at Noranda heading up their technology division. I've got Jay Naster, who, if you all remember the BRIEX disaster, Jay was the head prosecutor for the Ontario Securities Commission. And in the first year of the BRIEX trial, he was the guy directing it on behalf of the government here in Canada. Walter Samowski is a partner in Ocean Partners, who are concentrate traders. One of the things I should have mentioned earlier on is that when we do flotation, we make a concentrate. It's that concentrate then that goes into the bioleach for processing. So he's obviously a very handy guy to have on board. I've got a fellow by the name of Jay Richardson, who is a former partner of Clarkson Gordon, which I think it became Ernst & Young. So he's the CA on the board. Let's see. I got Tim Lewin in the UK, who represents our largest shareholder, Option 3 out of London, which owns about 15 or 16%. And finally, Don Whalen, who was the chairman of High River Gold, which was sold out many years ago to a Russian group. But all sort of stalwarts in the industry, and they're great to have on board. My CFO is Lou Nagy, who's relentless and tireless. And of course, Paul Miller is our bioleach guy. He's probably the best known guy in the world at his profession. Although it's a profession that a lot of people don't know much about, but there are 25 plants or so that have been built in the world. My background was in the securities industry back until the early 80s, I guess. And then I've been an entrepreneur ever since. I've been involved in biotechnology. I've been involved in oil and gas, mining. But one of the first things that I got involved with back in 97 was bringing this company to Canada for a listing and a capital raise. And I was a director up until the company, about 2008. And when I moved off the board, well, I'm still on the board, but I moved into the executive role and then split the company in half. back in 2011, I believe it was.
And what's your outlook like for Backtech for the next 12 to 18 months?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, production would be great. If we have access to a steady cash flow, we can ramp up the number of projects that we can look at any given time, because there's a certain amount of bioleach test work that has to be done on each project, and it can take anywhere from 4 to 6 months. Now, we do that in conjunction with Laurentian University in Sudbury here in Canada, which is arguably the best mining school in the country. And we partner with Dr. Nadia Mikachik, who's been, she's probably the best known in biomining. There tends to be a lot of work being done in universities these days, but of course, it's not commercial. But her input is invaluable, and of course, it keeps the cost down for us as far as, you know, setting up labs and having to run a full program. So I would say, yeah, cash flow is number one. I'd like to see Bolivia up and running this year, and I would like to see Ecuador up and running next year.
Now, Russ, before we go, can you summarize the key points of interest of Backtech Environmental and tell us why investors should consider buying shares of the company today?
Well, I would say the price. I mean, I personally have bought 6 million shares of the company over the years. I've paid for every share I have. And my goal is to get the stock to at least a dollar. Now, on the other side, you've got a technology that works. It's been proven. It's very cost efficient when compared to conventional smelting or roasting or even pressure oxidation. It does a great job of stabilizing arsenic, which makes us really one of the only companies in the world that chases arsenic as an indicator, I guess, of future business. And we've got a good team. You know, and if you want all the warts and the hairs that go with it, you know, we struggle to raise money. When you're 2 to 3 cents a share, people don't take it seriously. And so I'm going to make a concerted effort starting now with this interview to talk to people about the fact that we're not a mining company or an environmental company. And the fact that we get paid in metal is a bonus, but metal is sold to cash. If you want to pay me in Bitcoin, I don't care, as long as I can turn it into cash. That's the important thing at the end of the day. So our job is to clean up the environment, and we just happen to get paid in metal.
Fantastic. Russ, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we certainly appreciate your time. We'll be keeping track of the company's progress and look forward to having you back for an update.
Thanks. I appreciate the fact that you've been dogmatic and trying to get me to do this for a long time. So I'm glad it finally happened.